Well, all last year we were under Moses. 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and we learned all last year as we studied the Old Testament that God was good to us even then. We never really lacked anything. He always met our needs. He defeated our enemies. He fed us every day. He gave us water in famine. He took good care of us even when we were wandering around. But this year, there's been a shift. We're no longer under Moses. Now we're into Joshua. We're the Joshua generation. We're no longer wandering around and in transition. We are crossing the border and we're in position. For 40 years under Moses, every day God's people would rise and whine. But now under Joshua, every day God's people rise and shine. It's a new day. 2018 is designed by God to be completely different than 2017 was. You remember, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we began this transition now under the Joshua generation when Moses had passed away and God spoke to Joshua and simply said, "Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise, you and all these people, cross over into the promised land." And that word, arise, "now, therefore, arise," that's the word for our year. Arise. It's time to stop wandering, whining, but stand up. Arise. And in Hebrew, it means to accomplish, to perform, and to succeed. Last Sunday, I talked about assignments and exploits. This is the year God will give assignments, and they that know their God will be strong and do exploits. A totally different 2018 than 2017 was, and I'm fine with it. Now, as I was studying the transition between Moses and his generation and now Joshua in this new season, it's interesting that Joshua chapter 1, God made the announcement, "Moses is dead. Joshua, now you are the one. You arise. It's time for you and my people to accomplish, to perform, and succeed." It's not very far into that discourse God had with Joshua when we run into verse 8 and we see the priority early in this new season that God gives Joshua. It's in verse 8, Joshua 1 and verse 8. And God says, "Study this book of instruction continually." Do you have your Bible or your iPad with your Bible on it? This is the book of instruction. It is the Bible. It is the Word of God. And if we want to perform, accomplish, and succeed moving forward, this is the priority. Study this book continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Now, I want to lift just a few words out of verse 8 right there for my title this morning. Only then will you prosper. Early in the conversation God is having now with his new man, Joshua, and all of his people, early in this new year, we've got to hear the priority placed on the Word of God. How important it is this year that we hear from God, that we study the Word of God continually, meditate on it day and night with every breath, with every beat of our heart. The Word of God is a priority, or we will not prosper. Only then will you prosper, God said to Joshua and his people. In the King James Version, it uses this phrase, "Observe to do all that's written therein." Observe to do. That phrase in the Hebrew means advance in the Word of God, accomplish by the Word of God, have charge of the Word of God, execute the Word of God, govern with the Word of God, and be industrious with the Word of God. after you have observed to do all that's in the book, only then will you prosper. No, it is a new day. The people didn't feel it just like that under Moses. They were relaxed on cruise control. They just knew tomorrow morning when I get up, the manna will be there again, and it always was. But now it's a new day. God is transitioning them from wandering into living in a place that's their own, no longer renting, but now owning the land, taking possession of it. Now, in verse 11 of chapter 1, God said, "Get ready, in 3 days you will cross over the border and take possession of the land your God is giving you." 40 years of wandering around, and now they hear, in 3 days, you're to take possession of what God is giving you. The word possess there means to seize and occupy. The word possession here is a military term. They were to go into the land God was giving them and seize it and occupy that land. Military occupation is when an armed force invades new territory and takes charge there as if it were their own. They are occupying that land. And that's the word God gave to Joshua and the people of God. Go in, seize it, and occupy. Now, many believers have not prospered because they've never taken possession of what God has given. He's already given it. It's one thing for God to give it. It's another thing altogether for us to seize it, to take possession of it, to own it, to take responsibility for it, to execute it, to govern it, to be industrious with it. But many people, even God's people, have not prospered for this reason. They've never taken possession. There's a difference between Moses and Joshua, the two different seasons. There's a difference between last year, 2017, and your life this year in 2018. We're going to have to seize some things. The Bible says in the New Testament that the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. We will learn what military occupation is all about. Now, we're talking about the power of God's word and how that after we hear, observe, and do what God says to us, only then will we prosper. The power of God's word. Now, you know, we have one beautiful grandbaby here in Florence with us, and we have three beautiful grandchildren living in Austin, Texas. And my three grands out there are Hollister, Gideon, and Eden. And the three of my Texas grandchildren enjoy a relationship with their other grandfather. Now, I'm Poppy, but their other grandfather is Poobah. And he's right there in Austin with them all the time. And his name is Roy Williams. And Roy's written several books, New York Times bestseller. His gift from God is to help businessmen and women. He's in marketplace ministry. You know, God's doing so much outside of these four walls in our day. It's the Joshua generation. And in the foreword to one of his best-selling books, Hollister, Gideon, and Eden's other grandfather wrote these words: "An energy of words has existed since the day he said, 'Let there be light.' Learn how to use this energy." The power of God's word, and the power of God's word even when we speak it. That's why only then will we prosper, after we have observed God's word, every single word, day and night. It becomes a lifestyle with us. God is speaking early in 2018. If we want to prosper in this new year, in this new season, His word must be priority number one. An energy of words has existed since the day He said, "Let there be light." Learn how to use this energy. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, back at the beginning, here's how the earth was described. Horribly. Listen, the Bible says that the earth was without form and void. Without form and void. That's what the world was like. And many people today live in a world that is void. Void of light, void of understanding, void of counsel, void of wisdom. So much deficiency in the world today. And all of that changed with the word of God. Let there be light. All God has to do is speak His word, and darkness is repelled and the light shines bright. The power of God's word. The energy of God's word, even when His word is in our mouth and we speak it. Now, we're such natural people, and I'm natural. I'm not against being natural. I'm the most natural man I can imagine. But even in our natural minds, we think our life is sustained by the food we feed our bodies. When our stomach growls, we cram something in our mouth, and that's how we keep living. That's our natural process. But even more real than the natural, we feed and nourish our bodies spiritually, our spiritual bodies, by the Word of God. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. That proceeds. Not that he did say or has said, even though once he did, it's forever settled, but a proceeding word. He continues to speak every day. And the fresh word he serves us is what sustains us and keeps us strong spiritually. So in other words, the Word of God is our bread when we're hungry. When we're hungry. Now, I'm not super spiritual. I'm very natural. But there was a few times. Once I can remember, I've told you about. But when I was a young man, maybe 25, and the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night. And usually it's the devil doing that to me. And I was a young man, happy as I could be, but awakened in the middle of the night, and I knew God wanted to say something. And like I say, I'm not that super spiritual. It's only happened a few times. But all I knew to do is get the word. I knew God wanted to say something to change my life right then in the middle of the night. It had to be important to Him to wake me up that time. And so I slipped out of bed, went in the other room, turned on the light, got my Bible, and I began to devour. There was a hunger for me to hear something from God. It was almost insatiable. It was a hunger, and at least I knew enough at that young age where to find my food. And I just opened the book, beginning at Ephesians chapter 1, and I just read every verse in Ephesians. And I knew, I don't know what I'm searching for, but when I find it, I will be satisfied. I will be full instead of hungry. And I read all of Ephesians until I got to the 4th chapter and the 1st verse. And that was what God wanted to feed me, to strengthen my spirit man in the middle of that night and moving forward. And it was the verse that said, "I beseech you to walk worthy of your vocation." And when I read it, you know what it's like to pull up hungry to a Thanksgiving meal and to eat so much you can barely slip the chair back out from under the table. You're so full and so satisfied, almost miserable, right? Well, I had all of that except the misery. When I read that verse, I said, oh, that's it. I'm satisfied now. Listen, the Word of God is our bread when we're hungry. Some of us don't enjoy feeding on the Word of God because we are not hungry enough. But Solomon in Proverbs said that even bitter things taste sweet to the hungry soul. So audit your own life. How hungry are you to hear from God, to hear a proceeding word, to hear a word so strong and so in season for your life where you are right now today that you scour God's word until the Logos, written word of God, becomes Rhema, a proceeding spoken word from God. And I'll just say it's not always enough to read the word. Not always enough. Jesus did not say, if any man has an eye, let him read. Oh, read the word. And as we read the word and our hunger connects with God's sovereignty, we will hear. Jesus said, if any man has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. So yes, read it, but listen while you read. Hear a proceeding word, the one that's for you right now in this season of your life. I received a call a few days ago and a lady's testimony. She was in the same condition, so hungry to hear from God, knowing something was missing, just could not get on board with what God was seemed to be saying. And she just said, I just have to hear clearly from God. And then her testimony was, here's the word that set her free. Just the word all of us know. It's been Logos. It's been written. We've read it and read it and read it and read it and quoted it. But to her in that moment, it became Rhema. God was saying that word to her right now, and it set her free. And it was simply the verse, bear fruit and know that your fruit will remain. Now, it doesn't matter her circumstance. I know what her circumstances were. But I'm just telling you, when God spoke that to her, not when she read it, but when she heard it, the Rhema spoken proceeding word from God, she was hungry enough to feed on God's written word until she heard God's spoken word. It set her free. Different person. She said, I'm a different person. One word from God, a different person. In Isaiah 55 and verse 11, God says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void or empty and without fruit. That's the way the world was before God spoke the first word. It was without form and void. God's saying, oh no, my word will not return to me void, but it shall accomplish. There's the word accomplish again. Arise, accomplish, perform, and succeed. It shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. The Message translation says, my words will not come back empty-handed. They will complete the assignment I gave them. Our words carry an assignment when they are spoken. God's word has an assignment attached to every time he speaks. And our words carry an assignment when they are spoken. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus and the disciples were in a boat on the sea. Now, anytime you see a body of water in Scripture, especially in the New Testament, many times at least, it's metaphorical and symbolic. Oh, now they were literally in a real boat on a real sea. But it's also representative of life. Water represents natural life. Jesus said, you must be born of water, that's the natural birth, and of the Spirit, that's the new birth. So water is natural life. So when Jesus and the disciples were in the boat on the sea, they were just doing natural life. How many of you know sometimes natural life brings unexpected problems we didn't see coming? And that's what happened then. The Bible says there arose a great storm. The Bible says the waves beat into the ship, and the ship was full. Now, I'm no physicist, but I think I learned enough in school to know that when your boat is full of water, you're going down real quick. They were in dire straits. A great storm, waves beat into the ship. The ship was full, and panic ensued. And even some of them verbally vocalized their frustration with the Lord. He was asleep through the whole thing. They went and rattled him, woke him up, and accused him. They're his disciples, the closest ones to him. And even they accused him. Don't you care that we're perishing out here? Well, he didn't respond to their frustration. He just simply got up and went to the front of the boat and spoke a word that carried an assignment. He looked at the storm and he didn't say, "You great storm!" No. He looked at the storm and he called it what he wanted it to be. Peace, be still. And the words he spoke carried an assignment, and the sea became calm. Peace, be still. That's the authority of God's word. And it carries authority even when we speak his word in his name. Now, have you noticed they've started naming storms? Well, now they've always named hurricanes, but now they've started naming tropical winter storms. We had one just a couple of weeks ago, and they referred to it as a bomb cyclone. I believe it. I mean, 10 degrees every night for a week, snow everywhere. We lost water. Even the hospital lost water. I mean, that was a storm. It deserved to be named. I've seen that. Now, we know about hurricanes. They have names all the time. But there was a storm named Inga. Did you hear about that one in the news? That's it, honey. Inga's sitting over there today, way back yonder. Inga. And I've noticed they've even started naming storms in advance. Now, that don't really seem to be that, because what if they don't come? But they expect them to come. They so expect a storm, they're going to give it a name years in advance. I checked the National Hurricane Center online, and in 2018, this year right now, the hurricane season that will hit us beginning June 1, I believe, they've already determined some names of what the storms, even before the storm gets here, they've got a name for it. The names for this year: Hurricane Alberto, Hurricane Chris, I mean, really. Hurricane Debbie. That's pathetic. I know. Not one leaf on a tree will wiggle when Hurricane Debbie blows through here. Also this year, Hurricane Florence. We might ought to watch out for that. It's happening this year. Hurricane Joyce. My, this is going to be a year. Chris and Joyce Potter. Hey, listen, make sure you got your insurance paid up. But I mean, my, the odds, you understand. Now, the storm hadn't even come yet. We don't even know for sure if it's coming, but we're going to give it a name anyway. It's anticipating the storms. And then, now, some of you will be interested to know, they've named them 5 years out. You can go to the National Hurricane website and pull them up just like I did. In 2019, the hurricanes include Karen. In 2020, the hurricane names include Dolly. 2020. In 2021, I can't believe it, but one of the named hurricanes, even 3 years before it may not even happen, Hurricane Grace. Now, I can't imagine Grace going to be causing us any trouble around here. And then in 2022, according to the National Hurricane Center, one of the names of the hurricanes in 2022 will be named Carl. But not to worry, it's with a K, so I'm all right. Now, when this great, what, who said what? It does make a difference how you spell it. I'm not German. I know how to spell Carl. Now, in this Mark chapter 4 passage, where the great storm arose, it didn't give the name. And here's why. It doesn't matter what your storm is named. Give it any name. And the name Jesus is above every other name. The importance of hearing the word of God. Matthew 7, verse 24, therefore, Jesus said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. Now we're learning that it's not even just enough to only hear. But it's important to hear and then do the word we've heard. Anyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand and the rain descended. I want you to notice the directional words here. The rain descended, that's being assaulted from above. The rains descended on that house, and then the floods came, that's being assaulted from beneath, and it's rising higher and higher. So, rain assaulting from above, floods assaulting us from beneath. And then it said, the winds blew and beat. Now, that's an attack from all sides. Sometimes life is that way. On occasion, being attacked from above, being attacked from beneath, and then being beat up on by winds from every direction, attacking all sides. And then Jesus said, when the winds blew and beat on that house, it fell, and great was its fall. What's the difference? Both suffered storms. Both houses were attacked on every side. But one house was built on God's word. One house was built by a man who could hear God clearly and was quick to do what he heard God say. The other house was built by a man who did not hear God. Or they heard him. Oh, excuse me, that's important. I need to correct that. They heard it. They heard God, but they didn't do it. Both heard God. One heard God and did it. The other heard God and didn't do it. That was the house that fell. Now, at the end of his sermon there in Matthew 7, that was the Sermon on the Mountain. I know some of you think I'm preaching the greatest sermon right now you've ever heard. Amen. Oh, God. But the greatest sermon that was ever preached was preached right there in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, forever and all time. And at the end of his sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, the Bible says the people were astonished at his teaching because he taught them as one having authority. God's word and God's authority are always connected. Now then, as soon as the sermon was over, three chapters of the greatest sermon ever, and as soon as that sermon was over, the very next chapter, Matthew 8, beginning at verse 5, said, "Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' And Jesus said, 'I will come and heal him.' The centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it.' And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he said to those who followed him, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel.'" Mama, a man who believed so much that God could just speak a word and everything will be fine. You don't need to make a personal visit to my house. You don't need to go out of your way, Lord. I'm not asking for all that. I'm not even worth all that. You don't even have to. I know you said you will. You're willing, but you don't even have to go out of your. Just speak the word only. Just only speak a word. That's the priority we've got to put on the word of God in this new year. We've got to hear it and do it. Observe to do all that there is. And there is the authority of God's word. He said, "It won't come back to me empty-handed and void. It will accomplish the purpose for which I send my word." There is a direct connection between the word of God we speak and our level of spiritual authority. It's the authority of God's word. Now, when's the last time God heard you say anything that caused him to marvel? Jesus heard that centurion say, "Well, you don't need to go out of your way to make a personal visit to my house. Only speak a word, and it is done. Only speak a word, and it is done." And the Bible says Jesus marveled at that man's faith. I'm telling you, we should say something today that will cause Jesus to marvel and say about us what he said about this man: "I've not found faith like this anywhere, not even among my own chosen people." Would you stand with me, please? Everybody stand.